Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, July 26th. I'm Abby Larico. Missouri's Democratic primary for the U.S. Senate isn't quite as contentious as other races on the August 6th ballot, but U.S. Senator Josh Hawley is expecting a tough re-election bid no matter who prevails.
Do I think it's going to be a tough race? Absolutely. Do I think it's going to be hammer and tongs fight? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, the seat's not for sale.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum talks about how independence attorney Lucas Kuntz and State Senator Carla May would take on Hawley in November. And in a totally different kind of race, we catch up with one of the fastest guys on the track. Our Brian Munoz has a conversation with local Olympian Brandon Miller ahead of today's opening ceremonies in Paris.
The physical work up to this point has been done through the season, but you also have to prepare yourself mentally and you have to prepare yourself spiritually.
That's all coming up on The Gateway. After a lawsuit was filed this week in which more than two dozen people accused the Archdiocese of St. Louis of enabling and covering up the sexual abuse of minors by clergy members for decades, St. Louis Public Radio's Madison Holcomb reports on the response from some of the survivors.
A few survivors of sexual abuse by Archdiocese of St. Louis employees gathered in front of the Cathedral Basilica to discuss their lawsuit against the organization and call for action. David Clossy is an abuse survivor and the former executive director of the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests.
We're rarely aware of just how burdensome it is to quietly keep this horrible secret, because we've been doing it for decades. But it's a freeing and a liberating moment and the beginning of really rebuilding your life.
He says he hopes this lawsuit inspires other survivors to open up about their abuse. The Archdiocese did not respond to a request for comment. I'm Madison Holcomb, St. Louis Public Radio.
ArchCity Defenders released a report Thursday that reviews St. Louis municipal court systems 10 years after the killing of Michael Brown Jr. The civil rights organization says there's change happening within the area's legal system, but consolidating the courts would speed up the process. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
Florissant resident Umi Akoli had warrants in 11 different municipalities at one point. She was ticketed for various reasons, including not having an up-to-date license tag because she said she had to pay rent instead. Akoli can't count the number of days she spent in area jails. She says the days without her children broke her emotionally.
That's something the court can't pay me back for. My child sitting at my mother's house not knowing when his mama was coming back home. My mother not knowing how long she'd have to take care of my child.
Akoli hopes Arch City Defenders' new report opens up consolidation dialogue with the municipal courts to help keep people from racking up fines in multiple cities. She says it's necessary because it's hard navigating different court systems. I'm Andre Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Two local U.S. representatives from Illinois introduced legislation to better the federal government's response to prevent coal mine collapses. Republican Mike Bost, Democrat Nikki Budzinski, and two others filed the Mines Act Thursday. The officials say the legislation would make the federal government's response and prevention of these events more transparent. It would require the U.S. Department of Interior to provide reports to Congress. Mine subsidence, what experts call ground shifting over time because of a mine, is common in the Metro East and Southern Illinois. The area is home to many abandoned and some active coal mines. A sinkhole believed to be related to a mine collapse created a 100-foot-wide crater in an Alton soccer field last month. And just last year, a Belleville grocery store closed after its parking lot and nearby streets started to crack because of a coal mine beneath it. The owner of the casino just across the Mississippi River from the Arch is merging with another gambling company. The St. Louis Business Journal reports Queen Casino and Entertainment will combine with Bally's Corporation. The Casino Queen opened in East St. Louis in 1993. It opened a sports book in 2022. Casino Queen's owners also have two other locations in Iowa and Louisiana. St. Louisans may know Bally's, a Rhode Island-based company, for the St. Louis Cardinals TV network or other Major League Baseball teams. Pending approval from stockholders, the deal is expected to close in the first half of next year. A statement from both parties says the new company plans to maintain the East St. Louis location. Invest STL is continuing a grant program that encourages resident groups to come together to make life better in their neighborhoods. The Small Dollars Action Fund gives out money for projects like block parties, neighborhood cleanups, and public space improvements. Invest STL CEO Dara Eskridge says the events may seem small, but they build cohesion among residents of a community.
There are these small pots of money that allow residents to just practice neighborliness, bask in the joy of sharing a place together, but also in the business of sharing a place together.
Dozens of neighborhoods and towns on both sides of the river are eligible to apply for the grants, which are now open and due by August 22nd. Eskridge was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. Today marks the opening ceremonies of the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris. Missouri and Illinois will be well represented by dozens of athletes on Team USA, including O'Fallon, Missouri native Brandon Miller. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz spoke with the track star and started by asking him about the experience and his roots in the sport.
And the reason I got into running is it's funny because my mom and my dad kind of just put me and my brother out on the track. When we were kids, we were just tearing up the house. So it was just a way for us to get energy out of ourselves. And, you know, time went on and it just turned into something that I love doing.
Your success started early. As a sixth grader at Fort Zumwalt Middle School, you had the fastest youth time in the country for the 800, the 1500, and the 3000 meter relays. You also broke some records for your age. How did you do it?
It was just a testament to the hard work, and I really think that God has given me a gift, you know, first off. But I put in a lot of hard work. It was a lot of dedication, and I really can attribute the early success to the guidance of my parents. My parents did a really good job of making sure that I stayed a kid so that when I got to this moment right here and got further and further into my career, that my love for the sport still remained.
After a notable track career at John Burroughs High School, you went on to Texas A&M and won two NCAA championships your sophomore year. What did running in college teach you?
One of the biggest things that attributed to my success in college was all the stuff that I learned as a high schooler, you know what I'm saying? But it taught me a lot of things. It taught me the value of being on a team. It taught me about the little things that I needed to take care of in order to be elite at my sport as well.
Who do you see as your role model? Who inspires you?
So CJ Jones, he ran for Texas Tech, and now he runs for Under Armour. He went to Cardinal Ritter. We kind of grew up together. That's my brother. Not blood, but blood wouldn't make us any closer. But coming up, you know, middle school, high school, I just looked up to him and I wanted to be like him. So for me, that would be my track role model.
Inevitably, sometimes things happen in competition. I think about Usain Bolt's false start in the 100 meter in 2011 at the World Championships that disqualified him. Or Sha'Carri Richardson tripping on her shoelace during this year's trials, but in that case, she still took gold. Nevertheless, how do you keep cool when sometimes things don't go as expected?
It all comes down to the preparation, because when you get to this high of a level, you're not only preparing for the Olympics physically. You know, the physical work up to this point has been done through the seasons when we start all the way back in October. But you also have to prepare yourself mentally, and you have to prepare yourself spiritually. In that preparation, you have to put yourself in a place where things don't go right. You know, and it's being able to react to that and stay calm and stay patient. That's how you see the great ones come back.
What are you looking forward to the most around the experience?
Competing against the best in the world. As a competitor, when you're put in situations that you're going to test yourself in, it makes you excited. So for me, seeing how the men's 800 is this year, it's one of the most competitive events in the world right now. So kind of stepping into that fire and seeing what I'm made of, I'm very excited.
Many athletes end up getting some kind of Olympic ink to commemorate their time competing. Do you plan on doing the same?
Oh, 1,000%. For sure. This offseason, I'm going to go get some ink. I'm not sure where, but I definitely have to get my rings, for sure.
Brandon, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck in Paris.
Thank you for your time, man. I really, really appreciate you for having me on.
That was O'Fallon, Missouri native and U.S. Olympian Brandon Miller, speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz. Missouri's Democratic primary for the U.S. Senate is not as contentious as other races on the August 6th ballot, but the winner of the contest between attorney Lucas Kuntz and State Senator Carla May will then take part in what's sure to be a closely watched race against incumbent GOP Senator Josh Hawley. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports.
The primary race between Kuntz and May hasn't featured blistering television ads or biting personal attacks. In fact, the two Democrats have fairly similar views on the issues. They both strongly support abortion rights, they both want to protect organized labor, and they're both in favor of providing military aid to help Ukraine repel Russia's invasion. But the two Democrats with fairly similar policy views are taking very different approaches to convince the party's voters that they should take on Hawley, a Missouri Republican who often provokes disdain from progressives around the country. Kuntz, who ran unsuccessfully for the Senate in 2022, is emphasizing his experience as a Marine who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. He also brings up his family's difficult economic circumstances growing up in Jefferson City and how his neighbors helped him out when things got hard.
I'm running this campaign, taking no money from corporate PACs, no money from federal lobbyists, no money from big farm executives, no money from big fossil fuel executives, because I'm tired of those people stripping the communities like the one I grew up in for parts, and the only people I ever want to owe are those in that old neighborhood.
May says that she's the most qualified Democrat to take on Hawley, pointing to her ability to affect the course of legislation even when her party is in the minority. She's also highlighting her ability to fight for Democratic values, including when she participated in the longest filibuster in state history that helped sink a measure making it harder to amend the state constitution.
And most people around the state know me because I've traveled around the state while performing my duties as an elected legislative senator.
Both May and Kuntz have been willing to go directly after Hawley. May, for instance, criticized Hawley for a recent speech where he declared himself a Christian nationalist and went on to say that Christianity paved the way for the United States' core principles.
It's a different thing to have religion and to have a relationship with Christ. Those are two different things. You got me? Because people want to have these things where they impose Christ on you, but you don't have to impose anything if you love people.
Kuntz and May have also chastised Hawley for leading the unsuccessful charge to deny President Joe Biden Pennsylvania's electoral votes, something that the GOP senator has consistently defended. Kuntz in particular says how Hawley handled January 6th showcases his inauthenticity.
You know, he's a fraud, right? We all know that. We saw him pump his fist on January 6th when he thought it was going to get him some power and then skitter out the back door minutes later when things got real and he was like, oh, God, now I'm in trouble, right? And that's what his political career is right now, right? He was a country club Republican in 2018 when he first ran for this office and only got 51% of the vote, I might add. Like, not a big victory.
Hawley's win over incumbent U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill in 2018 was somewhat narrow, considering Missouri is widely seen nationally as a strongly Republican state. But while political prognosticators aren't favoring Kuntz or May to win in November just yet, Hawley is expecting a competitive contest.
Do I think it's going to be a tough race? Absolutely. Do I think it's going to be hammer and tongs fight? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, the seat's not for sale. I mean, I think the Democrats are going to try to buy the seat. I think you'll see unbelievable amounts of cash, unbelievable amounts of special interest groups playing with dark money and everything else. And, you know, we're not here for sale.
Hawley is unopposed in the GOP primary. So it will be up to whoever prevails in the August 6th Democratic primary to prove whether his expectations about a competitive general election contest are correct. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
We have more coverage ahead of the August 6th primary at stlpr.org. Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a lovely weekend.